Hey, it's Greg from Verge Magazine and Alternative Sport here on the eve of the NFL wildcard playoffs. I'm very excited about this. So I brought in the big guns, my friends, homies, compadres, Chris and Steve from Red Men TV. How are you guys?
Excited. Playoff football, man. I love the playoffs, honestly.
I'm more excited than that. What's this?
Mate, I love it. It's half an hour on a Friday, drinking me a British friend. I absolutely, honestly, I adore the playoffs. Like, it's incredible. I watch everything. I gamble on it all. I adore it. One game, I could just focus on one game. I don't have to worry about my stupid fantasy team ruining me weekend again. That's parked away. I'm already out. All that kind of, I love the playoffs.
I
think it's incredible.
I do miss the whole, aspect of fantasy with it. It's a bit, you know what it is? Because then you know it's coming to an end. Chris, like, are you mourning that? Are you enjoying the moment? Or are you like me? You're like, oh God, this is coming to an end now.
I hate it, to be honest with you. I absolutely adore the fantasy footy. It consumes my life from about 11 p.m. till 12 p.m. almost every night of the week during the first 17 weeks of the season. And I, you know, me and my guys work hard all season long to try and do something special. So to say goodbye to this group of players, it always pulls on the heartstrings, you know. And I always carry that love with me into the next season. Like, you know, I know we're going to talk about the highlights of the season and stuff, but I picked Puka Nacua up after week one because I was terrible in week one. And I was lucky enough to get Puka Nacua, and me and Puka will always have the 23-24 season. You know what I mean? That's something that's always going to stay with me. I was there his rookie year. I guided him. I essentially moulded Puka Nacua into the receiver that he's going to be in the NFL. And that, for me, is what fantasy is all about.
Do you feel like it's a really strange attachment that you get to these players? Like my play, like, you know, you keep on drafting the same player all the time, and then there's that one season that some upstart or a new person in your fantasy group drafts your player. My one is Debo, and so Debo's my player, and when that person drafted Debo, I was like, I'm not a liar, I literally was a bit salty, like. I don't like that person. I don't really like her. Never like that person. We should get new people in. And that's your person.
That's exactly it, mate. I'm the same as you. I'm like, what are you doing? I guided him. I moulded him. I'm the one who shaped him. And you're just coming in second season and trying to get him. Are you having a laugh? Like, you know he's my guy. So I'm there after the draft, almost straight away, trying to trade for him. Like, do you want this guy? He's better. Like, he's my guy. Like, you know what I mean? There's always a few people in the fantasy that's like, that isn't there in the WhatsApp group and stuff. And it's brilliant to do it. And it's just like, yeah, there's just... Fantasy footy is the best type of fantasy game you're getting on the planet. There's nothing that even comes close.
I have a friend, dear friend of mine. It's always in my content. Ash, from Ash in the NFL, for those who don't know. Big personality within the NFL UK world. Drafted Pacheco. And that's my person. I invite you to my league and you take my player. So Ash, I will never forgive you for that. And I'm glad that I beat you in fantasy football, and that's what you deserve.
In your face, Steve, Ash.
Steve, have you got one?
Honestly, me and Rashad Penny, it's a love story that'll never end. He won me my league about 3 years ago. He went on that run for the Seattle Seahawks at the end of the season where I think he had a couple of injuries, and Rashad Penny come in and just ran it to death. And yeah, I'll never see him and not smile. He holds a place. You know, I had the trophy for a year, and I actually sell him an actual penny onto it in honour of Rashad Penny. So when I sent it to my friend, he also got the penny with it because, yeah, it meant a lot to him. He did that. I was and I'll never forget what Rashad did for me, and it's there forever. It's a bond that will never be broken.
But also for all the upside of it, there are players that you despise because of fantasy.
Matt football. Ryan can get fucked. Matt Ryan, honestly, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I thought, oh, Matt Ryan on the Colts, that's a good pickup. You know, good offense. He's still no, yeah, just tanked me season. I was streaming like backups for the rest of the year because I only took one quarterback, and Matt Ryan turned into a pumpkin. So yeah, I as much as I love Rashard, there's ice and frostiness between me and Matty Ellis.
Justin Herbert, you owe me a fantasy trophy. You messed up and you've gone and got yourself bloody injured and then messed me up and I had to use like other people's backup quarterbacks. I can't remember who the guy from the Bengals is. He messed me up and made me lose one of my championships. I could have been two for two. If it wasn't for you, Justin.
The other one is when you mess it up, isn't it? Like, yeah. You know, I always think back to, I think it was last season in one of our fantasy leagues, Steve, where you went all in on that season. I don't know whether you wanted
to. So I got to the playoffs.
Right.
And Kyler Murray Lamar Jackson was he injured at the end? Maybe he wasn't playing at the end of last season. There was contract talks and stuff. And there was like three games to go when he was my quarterback and it turned out he wasn't playing. So I traded for Kyler Murray. I traded Jackson for Kyler Murray.
In a keeper league?
A keeper league. And I just wanted to win that year. I thought, it's fine, don't worry about it. I thought Lamar had fell out with the Ravens and it was going to be nothing. So I traded for Kyler Murray. And I think he tore his ACL, Kyler, on the very first play of the next game. So I give Lamar Jackson away. So this year I've been playing and Russell's got to the playoffs with my player. This season I've literally been the worst player in the league. I've had zero wins in the whole league every week. It's been,
I can't let that go. You have lost every single game.
This in that league, yeah. So
he won one in the consolation ladder. It was his first game in the consolation ladder and knocked someone else out who had like five wins.
Yeah, so the consolation prize is for like it gets top picks. In my defense, I did tank. I was half losing. I traded away all my players and for picks next year. But yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But that Kyler Murray, I think it was the first play against New England, and he just felt, I was like, oh my God, that's my fancy. That's like 3 years of my planning just completely gone here. So I've got a little beef with Kyler Murray as well. And Lamar Jackson, if he just played last year, I would never have had to trade him in the first place. And now he's going to be the MVP. And I give him away for some fella who's played four games on one of the worst teams.
He's not getting your vote now.
I've just been voting Christian McCaffrey in every poll. Fuck Lamar Jackson, yeah.
Bitter. Right, guys, just quickly before we get into talking about the playoffs, I want to know, what is your highlight from this season? Obviously, it's been a nice... I think it's been one of the best NFL seasons I can remember for a little while. So I'll start off with you, Steve.
Yeah, it's been chaos, hasn't it? From a personal point of view, I am going to say the last 4 weeks of Jordan Love has been my particular highlight. Whatever happens in the playoffs, and I don't think the Packers can win the Super Bowl. They got an upset in them, I think. But the fact that I was so unsure, like Jordan Love started well and we had a real dip and it was like, oh, what have we done? But I'm convinced now the Packers have got their quarterback for the next 10 years, 5 years at least. You know, he's a proper player. You know, you look around the league and everybody is really struggling. So the last 4 weeks of Jordan Love, where I think he's probably been the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks in the last month, watching him just dicing and the back foot froze and like the off schedule stuff, you know, I've been blessed in my time as an NFL fan that my team's had a Hall of Fame quarterback every single time. And this was the first time going into a season, I was like, have we got one? And it turns out it looks like we have. So personally, that last month of Jordan Love where he's just balled out has been unbelievable for me.
I'm very happy for him. Yeah, definitely. After everything that he's actually been through, you know, having to wait and listen to, you know, the attention seeker that is Aaron Rodgers, but we won't get into him and his conspiracy theories. Chris.
I'm going to come across really, really salty here and mainly because I am, but I think the highlight has come in the last couple of days and, you know, maybe the last 24 hours, finally seeing Bill Belichick leave the New England Patriots. As a Vikings fan, who has no success in their lifetime of watching the NFL, I have to take my enjoyment from American football in different ways, be it like an Everton fan. So, you know, as a Liverpool fan, watching Sir Alex Ferguson retire after ruining my childhood was fantastic. And I liken Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots going like 4 and whatever it was. Was brilliant to see just week in, week out, knowing that he's not going to have a job at the end of the season because this guy has been unbelievable. The best coaching that's ever been in the NFL, carried them to six Super Bowls, and he's been amazing, but I'm so bored of him. Like, I absolutely despise him. Like, I've read every book on him. Don't get me wrong. I really respect him, but my word, though, I hate him. So I am just glad that the New England Patriots might be rubbish for a long time. That's enough for me. That is my enjoyment for the next 10 years sorted, because the Vikings are going to be crap. They're always going to be crap. They're never going to win anything. So if the New England Patriots can be crap as well, then come wallow with me.
Well, you know what? There's, I think it's 8 or 10 coaching changes. And it's the most ever vacancies there's ever been.
I think it's 8 so far. It was like, yeah. Four in the league are looking for a coach. So yeah, it's he'll get a job, Chris. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't end up with the Vikings after that.
Yeah, he's gonna hit, don't worry. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll clip this one definitely. It happens. I've only had 2 weeks. I think it's about like 2 weeks of fun. Personally, for the Giants' point of view,
you got Tommy DeVito.
That's
made.
It.
It was a great form.
We had that for 2 weeks. It was like Linsanity, the same exact thing. Like it is a short burst of fun that we had. We had a great start. It's a great end to the season, and we beat the Eagles, which I absolutely loved. But my fun has actually come from watching the other teams again, the resurgence of the Ravens, who I actually. When Odell went there, I was just like, what are you going there for? It's wasting time. But my Lord, they're good. And then also, you know, just seeing the resurgence of Josh Allen. Like, I absolutely, like, obviously, we're lucky enough to be able to get to meet him. And seeing where they've, you know, where they dropped to, where they was literally, even I was just like, nah, they're definitely not going to be winning this year. I saw them get beaten by the Jags in person. And then for them to go on this run, five of the, you know, winning 5 games in a row, the comebacks, and I've seen people like literally on his back, trying to stop him from getting the first down. I mean, definitely, I think they're the ones to look out for. And obviously the 49ers, beasts that they are. It's been a really good season if I don't look at my team in particular, especially now with the offseason with all the bickering that there is. I move on to something more positive. Let's go into the playoffs. I'm going to get you guys to give your predictions on the games, and so you can say who's going to win, who's going to lose. Let's see if you guys get it right. You guys have been kind of hot with your locks of the week, so obviously I'll make sure that you guys have that included as well. So I'm going to start off with you, Chris. We're going to go with the first game, and that is the Texans versus the Browns. Who have you got?
So I've probably gone against the spread a little bit here. I'm actually going to go with the Texans to win this one. I know all about, obviously, the Browns and their defense and Joe Flacco, you know, his playoff form and stuff like that. But I just fancy that the Texans are just going to score more, and that's what it will come down to. So, you know, at the end of the season, sometimes those defenses that historically win championships start to get a little bit tired and stuff, and there's just no give in the Texans. They're just never going to give up and stuff, so yeah. I just feel like a few explosive plays and it could put the game out of reach early doors for the Browns.
So you're not Flacco-mania?
No.
Well, you think he's going to turn into the pumpkin?
I hope so. And it, do you know what? It's a nice narrative. It's a nice story, isn't it? Seeing it. And I think, you know, I hate to give props to the coach of the Browns, but he's done an incredible job this season. Yeah. Like, up there for coach of the year for me because of what he's managed to do without a quarterback. Because, you know, ultimately they start the season, you think that they've got the quarterback. You obviously worry about the off-field stuff and everything else that's gone on and all that type of stuff, but it didn't work out, and yet somehow he still managed to get them to win games when this is an offensive guy. You know, I've seen him up close and personal at the Vikings, and he was able to turn that franchise around without a quarterback, and there's not many coaches that have really ever been able to do that in the way that he's done it. So for me, he's probably coach of the year, to be honest with you. But yeah, listen, what he's done at that franchise, Stefanski, is unbelievable.
Steve, who you got?
I think Cleveland's going to win. Actually, I know it's they are road favourites, which are, you know, in the playoffs is quite rare. I think we've got a couple in this weekend, but I just think that defensively they're too good. I think the Texans are a good story, but you know, they barely beat the Colts. They've been you know, and listen, CJ Stroud has been a revelation. I hate bad quarterbacks. We've had so many rants about bad quarterbacks. Having another good one in the leagues is a bonus. I just don't think, you know, I watched them play. I watched obviously Texans Houston a few weeks ago. Now I understand the tech, it was a different Texans team. There was no Stroud, yeah, the injuries and stuff, but they really struggled to block. And they did a half a job on Myles Garrett, but then, you know, all the other pass rushes were big in the game. I don't think they can stop and block Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think the Browns will win. I think it'll be quite a low scoring game. Cleveland, I was looking at the odds, and it's obviously they are road favourites, but it's by less than 3 points. You know, I think it is kind of a real split in terms of what people think are going to happen. So it is a little bit of a coin toss, but, you know, it's a cliche for a reason, but like, I'd back a really top defence against the rookie quarterback in the playoffs. Like, history suggests that they get that comes out on top. And the Browns defence, you know, you mentioned about Stefanski being really good and stuff, but Jim Schwartz and that defence have been just absolutely outrageous. And like the things they've got Myles Garrett to be able to do, and they line him up and they smell blood and they go for it. It's worth mentioning, of course, like Houston have got their own pass rush, and Will Anderson's been very good. And I could see him, you know, getting him Joe Flacco's face. And Joe Flacco, the story's been great, but he'll give you a couple of games that are just, you know, he'll throw some up for grabs, and there's the Texans have shown that opportunistic and they can take advantage. But I just think in a low-scoring game, I think Schwartz will cook something up. And listen, if Stroud and Collins can have the game of their lives, Houston have definitely got a chance. I think the Browns' defense. I actually think the Browns' defense might be the best unit in the playoffs. I think that the 49ers' offense is certainly up there as well. But that Browns' defense is outrageous. It's historically good, and I'm going to back them.
I'm going to lean... I mean, I want the Texans to win, and I probably would go for Coach of the Year for DeMarco Ryans. I think in his first season, turning that loser franchise, which is, you know, of the Texans, which is like, since, you know, for a long period of time, they've not done anything interesting. For you to turn them around and take them to the playoffs in your first season, like, you know, come on, like, that guy has done...
And division great, winners as well. Not even one.
And division winners, yeah. Oh, come on, yeah. Just like if, but I'm going to lean towards the Browns on this, because obviously it's going to be the defense that's going to win it for them. I can't see an inexperienced first time rookie quarterback getting through that pass rush. I can't really see it. You know, Myles Garrett will be on form.
To be fair, like, obviously, this is going against what I predicted here, but you've got to remember the pedigree that Jim Schwartz has in the playoffs as well. You know, obviously, he was the Eagles defensive coordinator the last time they won it, wasn't he? I think I'm right in saying. The blank faces might suggest otherwise. He knows how to get shit done, and he'll always bring in a little surprise, I think, in the playoffs as well. It's going to be a close game, though. I do think it was a bit of a coin flip, this one.
And also, Chris, it's worth mentioning, he was, by the way, I wasn't ignoring, I was listening to your point. And Flacco, I don't know, it's the different Flacco, but like, he has got playoff experience as well. I do think it matters. Yeah. I really do think it matters. I think
he's won.
You know, that's what I'm saying. He's had probably the best playoff run of all time. Like, you know, shout out to Nick Foles as well. But like,
yeah, of course.
Joe Flacco in that playoff run was unstoppable. They got him one of the biggest contracts ever. So I do think it matters. I love CJ Stroud, and I think he gives them a chance because he's that good. But like, I'm with you, Jay. I think Schwartz and Garrett and co are probably just a bit too, one hurdle too far for him.
Well, let's go on to the next game. That is going to be the Miami Dolphins are going to be going into the coldest weather I'm very sure majority of them have ever experienced. I think it's record cold weather it's going to be in Kansas. So they're playing against, obviously, the Chiefs. They met before in Germany, and it was cold then, trust me. But, you know, the Chiefs came out winning. But the Chiefs are not exactly, you know, what we expect from them. And the Dolphins got a pounding just recently and lost. But a pounding by the Ravens and then lost to the Bills as well. So, you know, I'll start off with you, Steve. Who have you got for that one?
Yeah, I've gone Kansas City. And listen, the Miami not winning last week has bit them in the biggest way. They could have been at home against the Steelers in the Miami heat, sunshine, nice weather, and now they're going to play. It might be the coldest ever NFL game. It's like, you know, obviously they're saying like minus 10. It was like minus 20 for us, isn't it, in degrees Celsius. So just absolutely frozen, frigid conditions. They're injured as well defensively. That they're really banged up. So this losing streak that they've been on, and I know a lot of it has been injury related as well. They probably just lost one too many players on defense. If you're a I support a cold weather team as well. I know you do, Dre, as well. It's different for Chris, obviously, with the dome. But when you know you're going to have a home game, who do you want? You want a Florida, a southern outdoors team in the playoffs coming to your place. I think that's exactly what you'd want. So I agree. I don't think the Chiefs are brilliant. Offensively, they're really poor. But actually, they've won their division because of the defense, which is, you know, ironic to say because they've got fucking Patrick Mahomes, one of the best of all time, probably the best in the league. Well, he is the best right now. But it's their defense that's carried them there. And I think that'll do it again. I think it's hard. You know, Tua's record in cold games isn't good. If you look at Miami's record this season against good teams, like playoff teams, it's not good. They beat Dallas with five field goals, and that's about it, really. And some of them beatings have been pretty handy as well. You know, the Ravens taught them a lesson. The Bills have beat them twice. They have not been good against playoff caliber teams. I find it really hard to say that they're going to go into Kansas City and win. Now, I think too many injuries, and that really hurt them last week. They needed that game so badly. They really did. I just don't think they can win on the road in Kansas City in that type of weather with a defense that is kind of falling apart.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you on that one. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, a few days ago when I did my picks, I was actually backing the Dolphins. I favoured them to overcome the injuries because I'm just not liking what the Chiefs have been able to do. But with a basically self-imposed bye week last week for the Chiefs, an extra week for Andy Reid to essentially prepare for this game, albeit he didn't know exactly who he would be facing at the time. I do back the Chiefs to come out on top in this one. The weather is the big factor for me, though. And the Dolphins just aren't good in cold weather games. And, you know, Kansas City have that defense, have Pacheco, have the running game. You know, without Chubb, Van Ginkel, Howard, the Miami Dolphins are just too banged up and too out of their comfort zone. And we know what Arrowhead can do to an offense as well. So when you factor all of that in, I think that it's just too big a hurdle now for the Dolphins to overcome.
You guys are sure enough to use it at your lock at all?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to lean on.
I'm not confident. I'll be honest, I'm not confident on any of the locks.
I am.
I think I know I'm going to pick, but I think all six of these games are. I think the underdogs have got a chance in all of them. There aren't no mad. I know we're going to speak next about the next one, and I think in all these games the underdogs have got are live underdogs. If that makes sense, I think they've all got a half decent chance. I don't think it's an easy round to predict, really.
I just think that Chiefs defense is going to be too much for the Dolphins. Whatever weather, even if they're playing in Miami, that Chiefs defense is serious. They're the only people that actually kind of kept them in contention.
You know, can I interrupt you? I'm going to use my lock on the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't see Miami winning in Kansas City in that weather. I do all the permutations in my head and what's got to happen and things. Tyreek Hill will have to have the game of his life, and I think he's a bit banged up as well. And he'll be very motivated to do so. I can't see the Miami stopping Kansas City's running game, which is surprising. Obviously, Kansas City are known as a passing team, but I think a big Pacheco game, I think they're going to run it down their throats. And I just don't see that the Miami offense will be able to keep up. So I think it'll be a relatively low scoring game. But I think, the Chiefs are my lock to get through in this.
The lock has been used. I think personally, I talked him into it.
I think he did a good job there, Dre.
I talked myself out of the one I was going to pick.
I think we're going to see if you made a mistake in a bit. Right, let's go to Buffalo, who are inviting the Steelers. This is gonna be my lord, you've used your lock, so that's it. So is Josh Allen, as I said. And friends have gone on a run, and you know, new offensive coordinator has changed things completely. I know there's still those interceptions that Josh Allen actually puts up, but you know what? They look like a force. Obviously, the Steelers have made the playoffs, which gives Tomlin another winning season. But Chris, I'm coming to you. Who have you got?
My lock of the week is the Buffalo Bills against the Pittsburgh Steelers straight out the bat. I mean, I know it was the Jets they lost to last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they've been playing playoff football for 5 weeks, essentially, and they got themselves into that position where it looked unlikely that they were going to be able to do it. And, you know, I know they've not played the Steelers on the schedule this season or anything, but some of the big teams that the Bills have actually beaten is pretty impressive. Like, obviously, they've already beaten Kansas City Chiefs. They've already beaten the Eagles this season as well. So, Josh Allen, that offense, finding form at the right time. I just think that they're going to be too much for the Steelers. And again, I talked before about how Stefanski's done a great coaching job. I actually thought Tomlin might put himself on the block this season because I didn't think that they were going to be anywhere near good enough with Pickett at quarterback. And I don't think they are, if I'm quite honest with you. Ultimately, the goal of any NFL coach is to win the big one. Mm. And I don't think the Steelers are in a position where they can win the big one with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. And so I do feel like Tomlin needs to change something. But what he's been able to do with that group of players, obviously he's got that defense and always has had that defense and TJ and everything else. I think even just getting them to the playoffs with that group of players was impressive. But it comes to it's the end of the road this week against Josh Allen and the Bills because they fancy themselves for the big one this season.
Wouldn't you like Tomlin to actually have a change himself? Not for him to be let go or anything, like just they mutually decide, like, he needs a new team and then they need to go a different way. Because it just feels like it's more and more of the same. Of it's just like, you know, just bland, basic stuff just to get through.
His personality suits that city down to the ground. I think it's a match made. He's got Mason Rudolph's going to start a playoff game. Like, he deserves credit. You know what I mean? I know the Browns are in a similar situation where they're getting a backup quarterback plan. And then we mentioned about Stefanski. Give him his flowers, Mike Tomlin. Like, he has got Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky. A team with those three players is playing a playoff game. Like, it is bizarre. Like, Mason Rudolph's going to play, isn't he, at the weekend? And he should lose. The reason I'm hesitant, and I do think the Bills will win, the reason I haven't used my lock on it is, though, again, weather. It looks like it could be snow game. It depends. The winds are up to 40 miles an hour. Do you remember when the Bills did the Patriots in that wind game? You couldn't throw the ball. It was literally impossible. And in that situation, I think that brings the Steelers into it. They've actually been running really well. Najee Harris has seemed to have had a little mini resurgence.
Warren's
brilliant. They've got a really good running game. So have the Bills. You know, James Cook's been a massive part of this revival that we spoke about. But when it's almost a point where you can't throw the ball, it's like that's why it becomes a bit of a crapshoot, doesn't it? And if the weather's fine and not as strong as that's meant to be, then yeah, you would say the Bills are heavy favourites. But the thing that always terrifies you with the run game, and I think, you know, the Josh Allen ability to run as well, you should never underestimate. But I think when you know it's coming, it's a little bit easier to predict. I think if TJ Watt was healthy and available, the Steelers would be a real live dog. I think they'd be banging it. I think this inclement weather, although it's in Buffalo, I think it brings the Steelers into the game more. And when it's that unpredictable, that's what you want. If you're an underdog, you just need a bit of a leveler. You know, it's like playing on a bad pitch in the FA Cup or something. You know, can you drag them down to your level? And that, if the weather is as bad as maybe it could be, especially those winds, that I think that brings the Steelers into it. I still think the Bills are going to win, but that's the reason I haven't used my lock on it. I think it could be closer. And you mentioned before, mate, as good as Josh Allen's been, he just gives the ball away. Once or twice a game, you know, he turns it over. And again, against the measly defense in the playoffs in bad weather, that could hurt them.
And just to answer your question before, I think he wants to do a Bill Cowher. I think he wants to win a Super Bowl and walk away to pastures new. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, there's something nice, isn't there? Obviously, the Steelers back their coaches more than any other team.
Is it
like 6 or 7 coaches in the entire history? It's not a lot of coaches. I can't remember the exact figure or whatever. Because I think Cowell was there for 15 years with the bus and all that type of stuff. So I think he wants to do something similar. I imagine if he did win a Super Bowl, he'd walk.
I disagree. I don't know, man. Why would you? Like, he's 50. He's 50. He's set for life in a city that adores him. I don't know, unless something really bad happened. What I would say, I think this year he's really hurt his team. In terms, I mentioned the quarterback stuff before. It should have been Mason Rudolph 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. How he self scouts Mitch Trubisky and thought he's my option when Kenny Pickett goes down. Mason Rudolph's probably better than Kenny Pickett. Like, he probably should have been in from day one. Really, it felt like they backed the wrong horse. But again, credit to him is that he realised his mistake and he changed it. So it's like it counterbalances a little bit. But yeah, I think he'll be there for a long time. I don't see him going anywhere really. Why would you let him go? Who's better than him? Who can you get tomorrow who's better? Like you said, if it's his choice to walk away, but then
that's if it's his. I don't think they're gonna let him go. But if he thought I'm not gonna win anything with these guys, you know, it's too much of an uphill struggle. Yeah, you got to look how many years away they are from being an actual contending team in the AFC, which is like, it's not exactly, you know, easy. I don't think you're winning anything in any time soon. I'm saying that as a Giants fan, and we're far away. So, you know, if we're far away, you definitely are far away too. But they made the playoffs, so maybe he's got a long-term vision. I think he has to. But there's knowing, when it comes to my pick, there's knowing something's coming. Is knowing something's going to happen, but can you stop it? And no, they will not be able to stop it. So I'm going to go with my friend, Josh Allen, to run all over because he is the best running option out of everyone there. Because you could try to stop him. Remember, we saw just in the last game in Miami, we saw someone literally on his back and him still carrying on running and getting the first down. I don't think you could stop him. I don't think he needs to be. I think he's learned his lessons to not throw so many picks. I hope he has, because please, Josh, don't make me look like a fool. So the Bills are my lock of the week because it's not all about him throwing to Stephon Diggs. He's spreading the ball around. So I'm going to go with them. Lock of the week this week. I'm putting my reputation on the line.
As soon as you meet a fella, you're like, he's my guy. I'm backing him. Honestly,
no one else draft him next year in fantasy footy. He's my guy now.
Exactly. Ash, don't you dare try to draft Josh Allen because that's my guy. That's my friend.
Folks on TikTok and now we're best friends forever. He doesn't even know my name, but he's my guy.
Hey, Josh. I really do. Right, let's go on to the next one. It is the Cowboys against the Packers.
Oh.
Actually, I should have used my lock for this. I should have.
Yeah, we should have.
I think I jumped earlier.
Oh, let's go.
You know what? It's the hope that kills you. It's the hope that kills you. You know, it's been a nice story, but, you know, I think it's going to come to an end.
Is that to protect you from the ass whooping the Dolphins? The Cowboys are going to give you a Steve.
They're going to give you some work. But Steve, go on. Let's put why are you going to vote for your team to win?
I don't know if I am. What I can say is, we should have mentioned this before, we've done Steelers Bills. Like this is the fourth year of the seven seeds being in the playoffs. They're 0-6. So the omens are not in Green Bay's favour, and they're certainly not in the Steelers' favour. Listen, Dallas are good. The Packers are live. Honestly, trust me, I am the most honest person with my team. 6-8 weeks ago, we were rubbish. Like, I was like, honestly, just tank, get the picks we can. But all of a sudden, they've really found something on both sides of the ball. Jordan loves balling out. So we've got half. If he balls out, you've got half a chance. We've got like 7 interchangeable wide receivers. And all of a sudden, Wicks and Melton, they might have Watson back, which is incredible if they do. And Reed and Dobbs, they've got pass catchers, plenty of them. They've got Musgrave, they've got Aaron Jones, they might have AJ Dillon, I'm not quite sure what he's up to. So they've got the weapons that I think Dallas would like this to be. You know, the old boxing match, Dallas would like to jab Green Bay's head off and just keep them at bay and jab, 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 and ultimately let their class play out. I think Green Bay, you want to make this a slobber knocker fist fight, knee kicks in the face and knees in the balls kind of scrap. And I think that's what Green Bay are going to try and do. They're just going to go and try and go blow for blow. We can definitely score points on Dallas, no doubt about it. Micah Parsons is the obvious threat to that. The flip side is CeeDee Lamb is terrifying. and Jair Alexander might be injured, which is that's massive. So, there's a lot of factors at play here. Mike McCarthy, the all that kind of stuff coming up against us. But listen, Dallas are favourites, and if I had to put my house on it, I think I'd probably go for Dallas. But I genuinely think Green Bay, of all the underdogs, I've got a massive chance to go there and win. I think all the pressure's on Dallas. Green Bay go in there to free it. They're the seventh seed with a lad playing his first season, going into Jerry's mansion, castle, godlike stadium. All the pressure's on Dallas and them. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond to it, because they're not a team who've dealt with that well. They're not a team who've dealt with that kind of expectation and pressure well in the past. So I am looking forward to it. It's a free hit. And I think Green Bay, again, the points spread and the bookmakers disagree. But I think they've got an absolute puncher's chance. I don't think they're going to get walked all over. I don't see that happening.
I want them to win.
All over. They're going to get walked all over. Let me read you the teams that Green Bay had on their schedule this season, because it is maybe one of the softest schedules you've ever seen. So when you're judging a side, you've got to judge against who they've played. Chicago, Atlanta, New Orleans, Detroit, Las Vegas, Denver, Minnesota, Los Angeles Rams, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Lions, Chiefs, Giants, Bucks, Panthers, Vikings, Bears. That is an untested roster, as far as I'm concerned. Like, are the Lions maybe the Lions and the Bucks are maybe the only playoff teams in there that you've...
And the Rams, sorry.
I mean, none of the big hitters, none of the favourites for the Super Bowl in any way, shape or form. Dallas Cowboys are 8-0 at home this year, averaging 37.5 points.
That's the difference. that's a concern, Chris. That is a concern.
That has got to be a concern. You've not played anyone decent, and they score a lot of points at home. That it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That's it. Bring in the medics. The Green Bay Packers are done.
I'm hoping that there's a fairy tale story here. They could do it. I mean, but I doubt it very much. Not from what I've seen. But listen, Cowboys fans, don't get too excited, because your road's going to end real soon, because that whooping that I've seen you get from the 49ers. And the Bills, that will end your run very quickly. But regarding the Packers, I don't know. But I mean, look, I've been impressed with Jordan Love. He's been through a lot. Yeah, he's had to sit and watch someone, a diva, have an average season. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Fame. I won't knock him, even though he's quite mad at the moment. But Jordan Love's actually proved that he's been worth all the hassle. Burn the Packers front office. I think you're greasy.
Like I say, mate, I watched, I've seen various things, and I like the Cowboys. And all I'm saying from the Packers point of view, I think if you're an underdog, you've got to be able to have something like what your go to move. And the Packers offense can keep up with Dallas. I genuinely think they can. I really do think they can. It's whether the defense can just make enough play, a turnover or something. You know what I mean? I think it could be, you'll get yourself in a shootout quite easy. I think they can, because they have got so many options. Jordan Love has got so many options in front of him. His offensive line is playing better. You mentioned the Bears, because I get it, because they're not great, but the defense is good. And they didn't really lay a glove on Jordan Love. He threw he had the fumble, which was when he was running with the ball, but other than that, he was almost perfect. So, I do think that the offense.
But this is a Packers side that have only bettered 37.5 points. The Cowboys average at home once in the first game of the season.
No, and I agree, that is the thing, mate. If they get to 35, they'll win. But can Green Bay win? 33-30 or so. I think they could. I don't think they will. You asked me to pick what could happen. I think Dallas will win.
But okay, end the segment. Move on. Dallas are going to win. That was his pick. He's locked it in.
I do think Dallas. I have picked Dallas. I have picked Dallas. I have picked Dallas, but I think I do think Green Bay have got a chance. Like, I'm not, and listen, it's a bit of a free hit. There's no expectations at That's all. True. Go in there and give it a go.
Man, if they could, that'd be great. But
if that stadium, I'm just thinking, if they are 10 points down, how does that place react? That's quite. I think from a neutral, I think that would be good to see. You know, because Dallas, you mentioned they've been front runners at home and they've been incredible at home. Dak's been amazing. Dak's road to home splits are just mentally so good in that stadium. I just hope the Packers can get the ball first and score, and then just see what comes of it, and then maybe make a game. Because you are right, if this game's played 10 times, Dallas will win 8. You just hope when it's like the it's like, I don't know, in the Avengers with Doctor Strange, and it's the one, and maybe Green Bay could just find that one of the 14 million.
Chris, he's doing calculations.
That's gonna. He's just given the Packers a 1 in 14 million chance to win in the Cowboys.
It's literally like the hope that kills you. All right, let's.
You're saying there's a chance. It's the Jim Carrey meme, isn't it?
Honestly, you know, it's like you don't want to see your friend get hurt.
I do.
Listen, there's no pressure. I am going to enjoy this. I've got no expectations.
At least you made it. Unlike...
No, you're not going to enjoy it, Steve. They're going to batter you.
Remember, what I'm saying is this. Remember when you was laughing at me at the start of the season when the Cowboys put a whooping on my team? This here is my revenge. Right. Let's go with the Rams. Matthew Stafford visits his old stomping ground. It's going to be an emotional one for him. But yeah, definitely going to be a very exciting game. It's going to be a late one. So all those people that watch Redmen TV, these guys are going to be very red-eyed the next morning, because my God, we're going to be, you know, about 4 o'clock in the morning, you're going to go to sleep. That's for sure. So Chris, I'm coming to you. Rams at the Lions. Who have you got?
I have got the Rams to win this one. I think the Lions, just that the form's been pretty poor over the course of the last few weeks and stuff. They've come off big time. The key for me here is the Rams running game, and what McVay's got up his sleeve. I think that has had that and the protection for Stafford, actually. Although you could say the same for Goff. The storyline is the two quarterbacks, but I think the running backs is what wins the Rams the game in this one. So yeah, I'm going for the Rams, but I do think it's going to be close.
Steve?
This might be the hardest one to pick, potentially.
Yeah.
For different reasons. I think, you know, these are two very good teams. Sam LaPorta, if he plays, and there's talk he might, I think that's huge for the Lions. If he was ruled out completely, I think that would be a different story. I've picked the Rams too. And I think it's because, again, I think he can score points. The Lions' defense is not good. It just isn't. It's not very good. They can be diced, and I think Stafford is playing as well as any quarterback, really. I know he's not really been in there. There's been no MVP buzz about Matt Stafford, and I kind of get it. You've got to win your division probably and make a high seed to do. But he's been balling. He's got Nakua, who Chris spoke about before, and Cup, and the emergence of Williams has made them such a better team. The Lions' offense is good, no doubt about it. It really is. These two teams, both offensive teams. I just don't trust Dan Campbell. I don't know. I think he's just gonna. I think I can smell a 4th-and-2, like mess up. You know, like I don't know. Like
he's already almost messed it up by playing all of his starters unnecessarily last week. No need for him to do that.
Sam LaPorta's not even. Yeah, and hopefully he's all right for their sake. But again, I think this is a really tough one. I looked at the line, and like, I don't know people who bet. Like the Rams are 3.5. Under. I think that's probably too high. I think this is almost a pick 'em type game, really. Mm. Now, that stadium is going to be on fire. That's what I will say. That stadium will be out in force. The Lions playoffs for the first time in a long time. Division winners. For the first time in, 50 years or something absolutely crazy. That place is going to be electric, and that's probably what brings them into it more. But, yeah, I'm going to go with I think the Rams. I don't think the Lions can keep up.
I'm going to lean towards the Lions because of the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
Goff is very much going to be very much motivated. to make sure he's mistake free. I can never pronounce his name, St. Brown. Can never pronounce his Amon Ra. St. Brown is going to be, you know, he's definitely been one of the, how he has not made the Pro Bowl baffles me. They've got a strong running game as well. The only thing is that because he started Laporta, and that I think I would tip it to them if you're not, but it's going to be a very, very close game. It will be a one play that will win this, one score game that's going to win this. But yeah, I'll lean towards the Lions because that atmosphere there is going to be absolutely amazing. And it may be Stafford might, I don't know. It's close. It is very close. I was going to be ballsy and put my lock on this, but then I chickened out. I went for the easy one with the Steelers.
It's the D of the Lions that I think let them down. I think that's where it comes down to. Obviously, the offense of the Lions is brilliant. I think, you know, the points they've put up, the yards they've put up with Goff, the way that they can attack it. If they're not quite as potent, if Laporta is not available, then that makes it a much tougher game for them to win. But I do feel like the Lions, they're not a very good defense, or they've not been the second part of the year. They look like a quite a well-rounded side at the beginning. But yeah, you've got to quieten the crowd down. That's obviously going to be the key. And the problem that the Lions fans will have is they won't have any belief. If they go behind early, that belief's going to go, I think, and then the crowd are out of it. And then all of a sudden, it opens it up for the Rams to control the clock and the game.
You mentioned
I'll tell you just really quickly. I'll tell you why I'm leaning towards the Lions. It's because the Rams played against us, Giants, and we're no in threat in any way. But our crowd was up for it, and we was one drop pass away from beating them. And if you can't beat the Giants in the state that we're in now, and the Detroit Lions are way better than us, that's what I feel. I feel that there's mistakes in them because their defense isn't great. You know, their secondary is not good. So I think that there's obviously, and you know what? We concentrate a lot on the big names, and then sometimes it's like the little role players that come in for a couple of plays. And I think that Detroit has that, and they have a leader, you know, a head coach. Well, I think insane for starting last week. But I do feel like he's got something there, something I haven't seen in a long, long time. But it's exciting because the Rams definitely are back. Go on, Steve.
I was going to say, you mentioned about like points and oppositions and stuff. So in the last, I'd say what, going back to October, and it was a long period, but the Lions, 38, they had 38 in against the Ravens, so can see the 38 points. The Chargers scored 38 points on the Bears got 26, the Packers got 29, you go through it, the Saints 28, the Bears again 28, the rudderless Minnesota Vikings got 24, and then 20, the Cowboys got 20, and the Cowboys were half, I mean, that was a controversial game. I understand that. Maybe both teams are a little bit harder. So I think you can score points on the Lions. So I think that's my concern, is that bad quarterbacks or pretty ineffective offenses have scored heavily on them, or relatively heavy. You know, you're talking 3-4 touchdown games there. Yeah, Matt Stafford, Nakua, Cup, Williams.
But they could have still beaten the Cowboys, who are definitely heavyweights. Yeah, if it's not being for the ref's mistake. That's the difference. It's like that. I don't know. I'll stick with the Lions because someone has to. Right, this one here. I think we're all on the same boat with this one. It is the Eagles who travel down to the Buccaneers, and it is, as I said in the video I've just put out, one word about this game: pressure. And there's pressure on the Eagles, there's pressure on the head coach, Sirianni, because you've been running your mouth and talking the whole time, and you come across like a front runner, and now you've been real humbled because there's a fraction where maybe some of the Eagles players are just like, I don't know if this guy's got it. What does he actually do? I'll start off with you, Chris, because I'm completely biased. I'm almost wearing a Bucks jersey. Who have you got?
Well, listen, first off, I think it's got to be said that the Eagles have limped into the playoffs, losing, what is it, 5 of the last 6 games, something like that. And their players are literally limping into the playoffs as well, aren't they? You know, Jalen Hurts. Is that right? He's got a broken finger, I think Steve was telling me the other day. Yeah, AJ Brown's got knee issues. They are hurting all over the place. They just don't look anywhere near the side that they were a year ago. And the Bucks, like, Mayfield can get hot. Like, and if Mayfield gets hot, like, the Eagles are in trouble. And yet, for all of that, I am going to pick the Eagles. I know, it's ridiculous. But sometimes I just feel like this is an absolute coin flip. I want the Bucks to win, but I'm not there where I can actually back them to do it.
I've picked Tampa. I think the Eagles feel like one of those teams where the wheels are falling off. The issue we mentioned about injuries, Baker's been injured as well. And that's a problem there. I think he said himself in an interview, didn't he? He's really happy it's a Monday game. If it was a Saturday game, it could have been a real struggle for him. We saw him. They got through that Panthers game where they tried to look after them as best they could, and they were able to because the Panthers are just an absolute shambles and couldn't score a point. But we saw the offense really struggle. He got 9, and he didn't have to really go for it. When he did have to complete a couple of big passes, he got Mike Evans a couple of times. But that rib injury, I think it's a rib injury that Mayfield's got, and he's been dealing with that. I think you could tell last week. But the Eagles are a shambles. They at the moment, they just feel like anything that could go wrong is going wrong. AJ Brown, that's massive. That is huge. If he can't, he hasn't practiced yet. If he goes, he's not going to be 100%. He's going to be nowhere near 100%. They are.
Rose him as a decoy.
We can't. They'll be able to move. That's the.
It's line him up and see if there's coverage over there. Yeah, so three Smith up. We've seen it done in the playoffs.
Jalen Hurts at time records. He hasn't even thrown a ball. So he can't. You know that these kind of things are really, really dangerous. He'll play, and of course, he's one thing you say about Jalen Hurts. He's tough as nails. Like he'll play and he'll tough it out. But they are one of the worst in terms of form. They're one of the worst teams in the NFL. They've been dreadful. And not only have they been beaten, they've been beaten by bad teams. The Giants and the Cardinals are not good. They are not good teams, and that's the concern for Philly. Now they've got they've got a week. So everyone can you regroup in a week and can you galvanize the troops in a week? That's Sirianni's job that you just mentioned before, Dre. And we'll see if he can. But I think Tampa win, and I think they win in an ugly 20-17 type scrappy one, but. I don't see at the moment this moment in time how the Eagles can go from what I've seen in the last few weeks to beating a playoff, division winner on the road.
Yeah.
I've seen nothing with their best two players, one's out, potentially out, and one's playing with a broken finger and couldn't throw the ball. Everything kind of points you towards picking Tampa.
I mean, they're going to light up Hurts. That's for sure.
Honestly, every single time he's on the floor, stand on his hand, roll on him, just anything you can do. And that's the problem. When he does that stupid brotherly shove, just way into that finger. And I know it's naughty to say, but of course they will. There'll be people...
No, they're going to light him up. That's for sure. And then also, they will light up, AJ Brown as well. Like, definitely going to test him out. What I would say, if from the Eagles' point of view, from trying to be mini-professional, is Julio Jones. Julio Jones is proved that he could be quite useful. I'm not gonna say he's gonna be like the main player, but he's not done. So you always say there's always one player that has that one game just before they exit, and this might be it. So I think I can't see them winning. It's not that Tampa are that much better. It's said that the Eagles are so bad, their form is so bad. I think there might be a bit of, as I said before, fracture in the dressing room. I think that some players have checked out on him. And pretty much, I feel, if I've come to you guys as well, the question I'll ask you guys, if the Eagles do not win this game and they are one and done, come to you, Chris Quick, do they get rid of Sirianni? Is it done? Because the Eagles fans and media are completely... there's been calls for his head and they're not happy. So, does he stay or does he go if they're one and done?
I'm not sure it's the right move to get rid of him, if I'm being totally honest, because you can see what he was able to do, which was last season. Obviously, there's mitigating factors. He's obviously had a major part of what's happened to them, but the injuries is obviously the main thing, is why you two don't think they can win the game. But once the media and the fan base turns on you in Philly, they're not going to back down. They might keep quiet for a little bit, but they boo all the time. It's what they do in Philadelphia, isn't it? They're probably one of the worst sports fan bases the world's ever seen. I'm sorry to say that. So if they're all against you, I think the ownership will get rid.
Remember their paper that the Philadelphia Inquirer has actually come out and said you should fire him now, and he got to the playoffs. I mean, he's got to the playoffs all three seasons he's actually been there. However, you know, people are asking, is it you or is it those coaches you had? If you look at Shane Steichen, you know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name, probably butchering his name wrong, from the Colts now. Look at the Colts. Look at their offense of the Colts. Look at what's happened, the regression of the Eagles. You know, the question is, Steve, what does Sirianni do well?
That's a good point. He made that change, didn't he? He's only brought Matt Patricia in recently as well. He's on with defensive coordinator. He's like, no one likes Matt Patricia. Every team who's had him despises him. The Patriots couldn't wait to get rid of him. The Lions fans couldn't wait to get rid of him. So, you know, it's interesting. And then he has Sean Desai, but then he kind of takes the play calling off him and then puts it. It's been really, really messy, hasn't it? So he takes a lot of the blame, you know, for this as well. I think if he was within a dubious holding call in the Super Bowl away from maybe potentially having a chance to win the Super Bowl, and he's got to the playoffs every 3 years, personally, I think from that, you say you back him. But if the fans just hate him and the players don't like, which is what we kind of rumour, that's so tough of a position to be in. He's got to be faultless next season. So that's the issue, isn't it? If you're the ownership, you're thinking his record.
He's going on the hot seat then.
Yeah, but your record suggests you should keep him. But the greatest thing about the NFL and why it's so good is that every summer, every team has optimism because you've had a good season before, or you've got your draft picks in, or something's happened. The only team who won't have that this year will be Carolina, because they're going to be like, but they'll have a new coach and maybe there's a new feeling there. Going into a season in the NFL with bad feeling and bad blood, it's very rare that happens. It doesn't really happen, and because it's not meant to. The sport exists, so that doesn't have to happen. So if they get waxed by the Bills, by the Bucks rather, and the fan base is dead against them, I think he probably has to go, which is mad. And he'll have a new job. He'll have a job next week. And one of these teams, the eight teams looking for him, maybe not a head coach, certainly a coach. I think he will, and he probably a head coach, actually, because of his record speaks for itself. But he doesn't come across as a particularly likable guy. And to be that, you have to win. Like Belichick, for example, his records as well. Listen, he might not like me. I might be a bit of a dick, but there's six Super Bowl rings, so get
on with
it.
You know what? Belichick wasn't liked by some because obviously, A, jealousy because people, you know, tired of Pete seeing the same team winning again and again and again. And two, because obviously he is not going to play the media game and give you extra answers. He'll tell you exactly. I said what I said. I'll give you the answer already. I'm going to give you the same eight questions you're not going to ask me. That's the same. You're going to get the same exact question. Sorry, same exact answer. I think Sirianni, for me, and you guys tell me if I'm being completely biased here, I think that if you're not a likable coach to other fans, like if you are a front runner, if you are a person that now is shown to be, you know, you're not the play caller. Your plays are quite basic. You know, it's pretty much you've got one option. So give it to AJ Brown. Running game, which the Eagles fans have been asking for, is pretty much non-existent. You know, you can lock up, their offense quite easily. You can lock up their quarterback quite easily. You know, literally, what's his name from the 49ers? I forgot his name now.
Is it Nick Bosa you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. Nick Bosa literally walked us through and he said, this is what you do to stop him. And since they've given him a battering and locked him up, then literally, Jalen Hurts hasn't been able to do it because everyone's copied the same exact formula. Do not let him run out the pocket. Keep him in the pocket and you can get him quite easily. You know, I don't really see what Sirianni does really well. And I think, to me, I think if you're an owner, do you want a coach that is a front runner, that talks shit when things are going well and regresses and goes back into his hole whenever it's not? I think that I don't see you as a leader of men. I think that people, you know, the fans kind of see him as one of them, but then, you know, pretty much they'll turn on you just like that, as you guys know. And then also I think the players kind of just tolerated him. I don't feel it's like they're like, oh, you know what, he's our leader and we trust everything he says. You know, last word, Chris.
Yeah, I think, I think you're probably right. But as I said before, I do think his record speaks for itself. There are a lot of bad coaches out there with losing records. And, you know, he might be a bad coach with a winning record, and that might stand him in good stead moving forward. I do feel like there is an organisation out there that fits in with his ethos. I kind of did think it was the Eagles, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's somebody else, you know, brash sort of organisation that want to come in and own everything. I don't know who that is off the top of my head, but I think he walks into another job. The Ravens.
The Raiders.
Raiders, wow.
That's a very Raiders-type move, I think. Like, they brash, cocky.
Yeah, but they like the guy that they got now, Antonio Pierce. Like, he's good.
He's a bit like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not like... He's got the job, by the way. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, wouldn't surprise me if they go for a big name. Yet again, if they haven't learned a thing, then they're going to do the same thing again. And just like ignore what they already have. Food at home, which fills you up. No, I need to go to a restaurant. 5-star. That's what I need to do. And you're going to learn that way. But yeah, I'm not a fan. But you know what? I think he's officially in the hot seat now. Because when the media starts calling for you, that's it. Right. So we all ready for the Wildcard Games? Give me your meal of choice before we go. Tell people what they should be eating, your meal that you'll be eating on the main games on Sunday and the whole weekend.
Listen, Saturday for me, it's roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. We've already organised it. The kids have started eating steak, right? So we're doing a little roast beef, Yorkshire pudding for the kids, proper roast dinner, moving it to the Saturday instead of the Sunday, because we're out all day Sunday at a dance competition. So I'll be watching the playoffs late and stuff like that. So that's for me, mate. Can't beat a bit of rare roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Steve?
Oh, mate, I've already ordered boneless chicken wings, buffalo sauce. That's my Saturday meal. It's done. It's in the freezer waiting to go. And then Sunday, when I sit down to watch the Green Bay Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys, there will be... I'll be honest, I say I'm not bothered now. I'm a nervous watcher. There will be snacks aplenty getting eaten already. Chocolate, the Christmas chocolate's still around, isn't it? That'll be getting it. There'll be a lot of that getting it. You know, the big tubs. I'll be a nervous eater. So, yeah, the buffalo wings is definitely Saturday evening's choice. And then Sunday, probably too nervous to eat. I'll just be snacking on chocolates.
Well, there's no Liverpool playing, so, you know, we can rest easy at least this weekend. Thank you guys for joining me early in the morning. I really appreciate it. For more NFL content, and more sports in general, check out vergemagazine.co.uk. I am your boy Dre. They are Redmen TV. Check them out on YouTube. Best Liverpool channel there is. I say that, and then I'll be saying the same thing to the others. I'm joking. Big love. My favourites, anyway.
I love Neil Reynolds on Sky. I think their coverage.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Check out and make sure you check out the zone. Anyway, I'll catch you guys. Peace.